You have a plan for your business and a vision for its future. So it's important to have a banking partner that works to understand all of your goals and what it will take to help you reach them. Work with a banker who is dedicated to listening first and providing insightful, personalized advice that's right for you and your business. Work with Bremer Bank, because understanding is everything. Put us to work for you today at bremer.com.
The best healthcare is there in ways big and small. There when we most and least expect it. We may not see it, but we feel it. It lets us know we're not in this alone. Everyone deserves a healthcare partner who never quits. One who's there for what matters. United Healthcare. There for what matters.
Want your boss to put some real action behind the rhetoric when they talk about making your workplace more inclusive? Find out how to hold their feet to the fire and demand diversity on the Diversity Dude podcast.
Hello there, and welcome back to the Diversity Dude podcast. I'm your host, Lambert Fisher, marriage and family therapist, award-winning author, and national speaker on the topic of multicultural awareness and diversity. And for those of you who are interested in even more positive and encouraging tips and strategies beyond what I share in podcasts like this, then feel free to check out my award-winning book, Diversity in Clinical Practice, nationally recognized for the unique way in which it addresses the often difficult topic of multicultural awareness and diversity, designed for more than just therapists. If you're a helping professional in any way, Diversity in Clinical Practice can help you meet the greatest variety of cultural needs possible for those whom you serve. And it's available in paper and audiobook versions for your convenience. And whether it be through my one-on-one relationship building efforts as a therapist or my informing and empowering efforts as an author or speaker, know that my personal mission is to do my part to improve the world one strengthened relationship at a time. So today I want to share with you a few encouraging words about the attempt to demonize DEI. Now, if you have kept an eye out or an ear out to the rhetoric surrounding the biggest challenges facing our country as of late, you may have seen or heard a pattern forming. Whether seemingly related or having no clear connection whatsoever, there's been a pattern of forming blaming DEI for anything and everything that has gone wrong or could go wrong in this country. Last year's Silicon Valley bank struggles were blamed on DEI. Boeing 737 airplane problems were blamed on DEI. Most recently, Baltimore's Francis Scott Key Bridge collapse was blamed by some on the diversity of the boat operators and by others on DEI policies championed by Maryland's first Black female port commissioner, and by others on the Black male mayor, Brendan Scott, who was called Baltimore's DEI mayor, as if to convey in part that he didn't legitimately earn his position, but instead was a diversity charity case. But the truth, despite that, was the fact that he wasn't appointed by someone in power as a gift, but instead won a public election with over 70% of the votes. You see, these are just a few of the most public examples of what is occurring in smaller ways, yet nonetheless significantly impactful scale across the country. Diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts, often DEI for short, are being demonized, made out to be the bad guy, the source or cause of all that's wrong in America. With the implication being that if we just do away with that problematic DEI stuff, things will be much better. So what does this have to do with you? Well, in one way or another, no matter what your cultural identity or background is, you might find yourself in a personal or professional environment in which DEI may become a topic of discussion at the least, or a topic of decision-making at most, with results that impact the support you receive or someone else around you experiences. And in anticipation of you finding yourself in such a situation, I'd like to offer a few things to consider to help you have the healthiest conversation possible and consequently make the best decisions possible for you and those around you. Consideration number one, DEI is considered scary because it's inconvenient. Now, on one hand, it's no secret that there are many people out there who make no efforts to hide their disdain for anyone who is different from them. And thus, they make every effort to hinder DEI efforts out of the belief that people from different cultures are simply not worth the same rights, benefits, and privileges that they have. However, on the other hand, there are also many people who will boldly proclaim that that's not how they feel, that they value everyone and feel that everyone should have the same rights and privileges. And yet, when they hear about DEI efforts, initiatives, programs, or trainings near them, a certain level of discomfort still sets in. And while there are many reasons why this may be the case, I find that it's often due to the reality that at the core of diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts is an implication that the way things are now does not sufficiently consider, welcome, or make room for the valuing of diverse cultural experiences, identities, and perspectives, and that efforts and initiatives need to exist to bring about correct change of this discrepancy. If this is indeed the case, then the mere reality of the need for change from the way things currently are can often rub people the wrong way. Sometimes the problem with DEI-influenced change is the belief that unnecessary DEI stirs up pots, making things complicated when they were perfectly fine the way things were. The problem with the mindset that DEI unnecessarily complicates things is that while I am a fan of the principle in general that if it ain't broke, don't fix it, one of the clearest messages of DEI is that while it may not be broken when it comes to meeting your needs, it is very much broken when it comes to meeting the needs of many others. The question then becomes, do you care about the needs of others or just your own? And do you care enough to be inconvenienced in some ways by change? Change enough to help meet the legitimate unmet needs of others. Not as a charity case for those beneath you, but as a reasonable consideration for the well-being of others who have the same worth and value as you, but not the same societal privileges that reflect such. Consideration number two, misrepresenting DEI is the best way to demonize DEI. I'm reminded of that old middle school experience of witnessing classmates on the verge of losing an argument, only to turn the tables by mocking their opponent's factual, real truths with a derisive voice and a screwed up face, declaring in front of a crowd of friends, "Oh, you think that just because you get better grades and have actual plans to go to college that you're better than me? You're such a nerd." Their opponent can try to make clear that they never claimed to be better and that if being a nerd is a reflection of their hard work and good GPA, then sure, call them a nerd, but none of that logic matters. The loudest argument often prevails, and somehow word gets around that this student thinks they're better than everyone else, and their academic achievements then get vilified, and their personality gets tarnished because it never really was true, but it was vilified and misrepresented. Similarly, efforts to demonize DEI, unfortunately, don't always need to argue facts and research, proving how many ways there are for diversity to make things worse. That doesn't make sense. They only need to find something that went wrong that doesn't yet have any yet clear cause and plant derisive seeds of belief that, well, DEI must be the cause. And because of the unconscious biases against that which are different or inconvenient or scary, it's often believed until unproven true. And since there is no national DEI committee defending or promoting an unvilified or unified counter argument, the loudest mocking voice often prevails. Until a unified voice reveals itself in this regard, an abundance of everyday voices like yours are the best chance there is to resist the temptation of believing the derisive, mocking, misrepresenting voices, distracting people from the truth of the value DEI efforts overall provide. And instead of letting people take something that has the potential to do so much good and associate it with negative things so that people often hate it by association, let's utilize one conversation at a time to associate DEI with positive research, positive business and practical outcomes, and healthier cross-cultural interactions, and so much more. Which brings me to consideration number three. No matter what form it takes, DEI is not going away. What do I mean? Well, DEI is more than just the letters and the acronym. DEI stands for diversity, equity, and inclusion. And even if the efforts to ban DEI-titled programs and initiatives are temporarily successful, they won't actually eliminate the existence of diversity in every aspect of our daily lives. Try as they might, but as long as there are differences in races, ethnicities, genders, ages, faith, beliefs, political values, socioeconomic statuses, educational achievements, and more, there will not only be biases against that which are at the very least unfamiliar, and unfortunately, many thus then believed to be a threat, but also there will remain efforts to ensure that diversity in various forms remain valued rather than demonized in favor of sameness. You see, equity will continue to be championed to ensure that everyone receives fair treatment and access to similar resources in some form or another. Inclusion will continue to be sought so that differences aren't merely tolerated, but welcomed. valued and appreciated. Now, before I end, let me make clear, I have to express this reality check. It is possible, even likely, for all the reasons I just shared, that efforts to misrepresent and even DEI efforts may be temporarily successful. DEI practices may get banned. DEI programs may get canceled. DEI roles and positions may get downsized. But similar to the efforts against political correctness or wokeness, even if efforts against DEI seem to succeed temporarily, it will only be the letters or the titles of the programs that must change. The people whose needs those programs met are not going anywhere, and their needs still matter. So if you're fighting against DEI efforts, know that the real fight is about the people behind the policies and procedures. And any win may be short-lived because the continual need will generate creative ways to meet them. And if you're fighting for DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion efforts, be open to adapt and change. And remember that the fight isn't for the letters and the acronym or the program titles. Instead, the fight is for ongoing and sustainable efforts to make sure everyone feels heard, seen, and valued and supported, no matter their cultural similarities or differences. If program titles get banned, change the titles and keep meeting needs. If DEI roles and positions get downsized, find a position in that organization that allows you to be the kind of leader that makes everyone feel equally valued and included, because that's what good leaders do. And if DEI language remains useful, then use it to create safe environments for positive change when needed. And if DEI efforts become a barrier to understanding and support, then be open to changing the language, not to dilute or soften your message, but to make clear what your real message is. No matter what the future holds, my hope for you is that you will make every effort to avoid the trap of believing the misrepresentations of DEI used to demonize DEI and distract from the legitimate needs of the individuals and families from a variety of cultural backgrounds. And even when given the chance, help others see past the weak efforts to use derisive tones or unwarranted fear to distract the focus away from the necessary changes that need to be made, not change for change's sake, but change to correct unfair disparities in many aspects of life that affect so many. Especially since DEI really isn't about scary letters or even about inconveniencing those in the statistical minority as a favor to those in the statistical minority. Instead, it's about ensuring that everyone is heard, seen, and valued no matter the similarities or differences. And since at any given time, we can all find ourselves to be in one of those situations where we feel left out, we should contribute to a world in which no one is unfairly left out moving forward, no matter what the case may be. And with that, I'll say thanks again for listening to today's Diversity Do podcast. If you have any pressing diversity-related questions that you'd like me to address on an upcoming podcast, or if your organization is in need of a shame-free or empowering guest speaker or training on this often sensitive topic, then feel free to reach out to me directly at www.diversitymadesimple.com. And if you know of anyone else who can benefit from a positive and encouraging perspective on this often difficult topic of diversity, feel free to send them a link to this podcast so they can be encouraged as well. Or share with them my award-winning book, Diversity in Clinical Practice, available at Amazon.com. And as usual, I look forward to addressing as many topics as possible in future podcasts to help you improve as many relationships as possible at work, at home, and in your community. And as always, remember this. You don't need to know everything about everyone in order to have a positive impact on someone. Thank you all for tuning in, and have a great day.
Tune in each week and find out how to demand and implement diversity at your job. To hear more, check out previous Diversity Dude shows on ShalettaMakesMeLaugh.com.
People say we're made up. Tall tales. Myths. Think what you want about us, but we can all be certain of this. Recycling is real, and it works. But what happens to your recycling once it leaves your home? Recycled glass is sorted in St. Paul. Then the clear glass is made into bottles for drinks, pickles, salad dressing, and more in Shakopee. At other facilities, plastic bottles get made into new plastic bottles. Recycling exists. Learn the real story behind recycling.
If you live in an older home, it may contain lead-based paint on walls, woodwork, and windows. Even more bad news, lead exposure can be dangerous to young children and impact their brain development. And now, the good news. Hennepin County will fix lead hazards in your home at no cost to you.
We were worried because of the paint in the windows in the bedroom. They were peeling and chipping, and we know that when paint peels and chips and it looks a certain way, that's possibly lead. We were worried for our children more so than anything.
Eligible homes can qualify for up to $15,000 in upgrades. You may even qualify for new energy-efficient windows. Don't worry, Hennepin County has a trusted list of pre-approved contractors. You won't even have to find companies with correct licenses or certifications.
I've just done a test and it's positive. So we know that this is lead-based paint. And then we know it's a hazard because it's creating dust every time this window moves and opens. And if you look in here, that's just full of lead paint chips.
You won't have to stay with your cousin while you're getting the lead out. Hennepin County even pays for you and your family to stay in a hotel while the work is underway. The last good news is how easy it is to apply. Just go to hennepin.us/lead control to get started.
I'm really happy with the program. We can go to bed knowing that our children are safe.
That's hennepin.us/lead control. Tell your friends about it.
It's not just another day in your life. Things are changing for the better. At Comcast, we see those changes and we're thinking about how we use technology today to live, work, learn, and play. And we're building for the future now, so we're better prepared for the wants and needs of tomorrow. That's why Comcast is rolling out multi-gig internet speeds to more than 50 million homes and businesses before the end of 2025. Making our already industry-leading network even faster, smarter, greener, and more reliable. Over the decades, Comcast has been your partner, working hard to serve your community, and will continue to be your partner. We're expanding our gigabits so you can enjoy the tiny bits that matter most.
You know Shaletta makes you laugh. But did you know Shaletta Brundage can also make you think and boost your business? Media personality, activist, and comedian Shaletta Brundage founded Shaletta Makes Me Laugh to celebrate and share the best of Black culture. It's a podcasting platform. You can download 10 weekly podcasts hosted by African-American subject experts at ShalettaMakesMeLaugh.com or wherever you find your favorite podcasts. ShalettaMakesMeLaugh.com is also a production house creating broadcast-quality commercial content. And Shaletta and her team of storytellers create powerful promotional campaigns to get businesses the brand awareness they're looking for. Some of Minnesota's top businesses trust Shaletta, and you can too. Get out the word about your events and products and get in front of communities of color with ShalettaMakesMeLaugh.com. She's got the power to help your business.
Are you a woman known as a good listener? Do you have skills in de-escalating situations? Are you what they call a people person? Then the Minneapolis Police Department would like to meet you. Now in a rebuilding phase, the Minneapolis Police Department is recruiting more women to wear the badge. The department offers career options for women with a high school diploma or GED. There are also opportunities for women with 2- and 4-year degrees who are ready to apply their skills in new ways. Police work makes a great second career for social workers, teachers, nurses. Women in their 30s and 40s are welcome to apply. There's no age cap. You'll be paid while you train and mentored by veteran women officers invested in your success. Minneapolis also welcomes current police officers to join the state's largest department. Make a difference on the streets, working in your community, in a career with competitive salaries and generous benefits. Go to MinneapolisMN.gov and search police jobs to find out more.
Many people who test positive for COVID-19 manage their symptoms, downtime, and isolation with ease. But COVID-19 presented a risk of severe illness for others in our community. Ages are risk factors. In babies under 6 months and in folks 65 and older, contracted COVID-19 creates the risk of getting very sick for people who are immune compromised, disabled, or those who have been diagnosed with underlying medical conditions that include diabetes, cancer, chronic kidney, liver, or lung, or even heart conditions. This risk is high for those who are obese or overweight. Being pregnant or just having delivered a new baby is also considered a risk factor for severe illness. If you are at high risk for severe disease, avoid crowded places and consider wearing a mask in public. If you have any symptoms, take a self-test right away, and if it's positive, contact your healthcare provider even if the symptoms are mild. And of course, be sure to stay up to date with COVID-19 vaccines. That's especially important for people living with risk factors.
Are you getting older and feeling concerned about staying safely in your own home? Or maybe it's your folks you're worried about. I get it. It's not easy getting older, especially when the house is starting to show its age too. There is help available.
Individuals want to maintain and stay in their own homes for as long as they can. In Rebuilding Together Minnesota, we provide the opportunity, we provide the programs for them to do that.
Rebuilding Together Minnesota has been helping eligible older Minnesotans and those with disabilities stay safe and healthy for more than 20 years.
Our central AC unit was non-functional. We had plugged a portable unit in to the living room. What ended up happening was our electrical outlet melted, and it was getting to be 90 degrees in here. Meyer was told about Rebuilding Together Minnesota by his daughter.
She said, "Well, Daddy, you need to sign up." I said, "Do I qualify?" She said, "Well, you're a disabled veteran, you qualify."
So we provided a new air conditioning unit for the homeowner and also new electrical service all through this veterans program that we have.
Thanks to Tom and Rebuilding Together Minnesota, we're able to maybe go out and get a hamburger every now and then.
To find out if you qualify, go to rtmn.org. That's RTMN for Rebuilding Together Minnesota. Or if it's easier, call 651-776-4273 and tell your friends. Trust me. This is news they can use.